And we're back in the B block with the Media Virus Podcast, and we are getting right into our interview, so we have to start our special podcast unit intro.
There are two separate but equally important groups, the guests who think they have something to say, and the hosts who completely exploit them. These are their stories.
Now we can talk and have fun.
Oh, okay.
All right, Bob. Sorry about that.
custom graphics.
Yeah, we like to, you know, produce a good show. So we try to put little things together to make it more. You know, we're all kind of like in the production. The behind the scenes is there's really no reason for me to be a host of anything. You know what I mean? I'm not really like well spoken or. Or that particularly bright, but I'm a good number. See, here's the thing: is I'm a good number two. I'm a good seat filler, right? And a good producer. I've produced like internet radio programs, you know. But when there's talent talking, I do the production.
Gotcha.
Mike, I met Mike on a different project, and he is an excellent producer. He is the executive producer. So he produces, and he also wants to do voice work. I would like
good voice.
Yeah, I would like to do voice work as well. So that's kind of the, you know, we're both doing this to promote our voices, and one of us had to be a host. He's better at both things, but I got to do something. So he can't like talk and do the computer shit at the same time. I can barely chew bubble gum, but so why? You were telling us why you jumped.
Well, what's Pete? Problem. What's Pete in this whole thing? Pete in the nosy neighbor, or what? Mrs. Kravitz in this whole thing, or what?
Pete's a hostage.
okay,
Pete. No, so
I didn't think it was going to go there, but all right.
Yeah, no, we Pete. Pete was all right. So we all did a podcast together that was very. It was almost X-rated in its content.
It was called the finger in the hole.
Kind of, you know, just one of those things. One of those things where we'd write, we'd try to get each other to say really fucked up shit. Basically, we would try to get the best sound clips out of each other.
You succeeded.
Yes, and Pete just happened to be the roommate of the dude who was the host of the podcast. So he was stuck.
I can sit here and do nothing, or I can participate.
Technically, right? I wasn't his roommate when we started doing this.
That's true.
I understand.
I became the roommate. That. And like I said, they was like, come home and, well, you guys are here. Okay.
But I answered a Craigslist ad and showed up, and you were introduced to me as the guy who didn't want to be there. Right,
you answered a Craigslist ad for doing a podcast somewhere in Delaware.
So did I. Yeah, that's how we both.
My gosh, you guys are brave! Holy shit!
Yeah, well, we wanted to do podcasts, and like I didn't know.
I didn't know. Brave. I think there's something else.
No bullshit.
I didn't know where to start.
First night I went to the show, I wrote the address down. I handed it to my wife. I said, "This is where I'm supposed to go. If I don't come home tonight." This is where you send the police. She was horrified.
If anybody wants to do a podcast, you can come over and, we'll go down to my basement and it'll be.
Oh, thank God it was in the dining room because the guy was a bachelor at the time. he found the love of his life, and he grew out of doing childish podcasts. And he still joins us from time to time, but we decided to carry on. And Media Virus was the name of my first band.
Good name.
Maddie Rockdeff Rock Def Radio was the internet radio station that I worked for. Volunteered and helped to put shows on and stuff like that. So I just wanted to carry all those things from my past with me and do this. And, you know, coming from bands and stuff and wanting to, you know, having that kind of like something to say, but you don't quite know what it is. You just want to just inflict it on the world.
Yeah, there's a lot of bands that do this kind of stuff. Amazingly, a lot of people who are in bands or who are in bands now or were in bands do this kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
a lot of them had the mics.
A band down by the river was going to become a thing.
No, but the joke, there was a joke like, a punk in his teens and he's, you know, playing guitar and then a punk in his 30s, he's wearing an Irish cap and doing a podcast.
there you go.
You know, is basically, oh, that's me. You know, I'm in my 40s now, but, you know, we're still doing this podcast. So I think
you're in your 40s, you almost lost a toe. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Well, Maddie, slow down. You don't have to go so fast.
That's the thing. What they don't tell you is live fast, die young doesn't always work. You just wind up being really fucked up.
That's right. You get feeble.
I could go through a list of shit. I had to give up, dude. I've given up smoking. I've given up coffee. I gave up Percocets years ago, but that was a hard one.
Whiskey.
I haven't had any whiskey. I've drank beer, but I haven't drank whiskey in a long time. I don't know if you saw. I didn't send you an email. One guy had to send an email from my email address because the Fullvine Studios email address wouldn't go through to him for some reason. So I'm trying to get a book an interview. He's a thing come from Cheap Whiskey Aficionado. Because that's a bit on the show that we used to do on the show is Cheap Whiskey Aficionado, where I would buy cheap whiskeys and rate them. But that's what drew me, you know, this idea of what I do kind of drew me to, you know, your profile. I don't know how I don't know if you matched up.
Well, it was that and, you know, my killer picture.
Yeah, this is not, your picture is what we're looking at right now. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. Now, is that something that you've created or is that just something you picked?
That's something you'll laugh about that, this as well. People always say, oh, you're a cartoon character. Yeah, it's a stock thing for Adobe Character Animate. And then I just decided to be a blue cat because it was there and it was easy. And the little, if you can see it on the screen, if you're listening, I'm sorry, but there's a lightning bolt on the screen and you can kind of see something on the other side. And that's where Miles would be because we actually animated ourselves a couple of years ago as part of a little experiment, but it was too fucking hard to do. So on a consistent basis. And so we kind of dropped that for a while. But he was a snowman in the chair over there. And so then I've resurrected it for these interviews because I can do this. It's live. It basically is. Mm-hmm. It's just listening to my voice and moving the mouth. And then when I move my head, I'm actually moving my head.
Yeah. So that's following you and following your movements.
Yeah. And I notice I'm not, my eyes are closed on my little character a lot. I guess I'm looking away from the camera too much. So it's closing my eyes for me.
I'm trying to think what like adult cartoon you're from because your voice, I'm like, where have I heard this guy before?
cartoon. I've been Big Boner Bob in many anime things and manga, and I've done a little bit of hentai voice work.
I was thinking of the.
Are you fucking with us, or did you really do voice work for porn?
No, I didn't do any of that.
Listen, if I talk to a guy that did voice work for pornos, like hentai porn, I'd be like, all right, we're promoting the fuck out of that. Not that I'm not going to promote the fuck out of you. It's just
maybe I'll get a job because of this. Who knows?
Who knows? I mean,
if they wanted somebody with a Midwestern flat affect, here I am. You know, oh baby, oh yeah.
Now is the animated? Is that something that you can pull off easily, or do you need like a really good PC to pull that the fuck off?
I don't know. I'm running it on an iMac. It's newer, so
all right. Yeah,
I don't know what it would do on other ones. Yeah. I've been wanting, everything. They have these little characters you can do on your phone and whatnot. I didn't like any of those because it's on your phone. And it's not very, you can't mess with it too much. Like you can, basically everything but the character is stuff that I put together either from clip art or the pictures behind me are pictures I took while I was out on vacation.
Oh, that's neat.
You know, stuff like that. So, and I was really interested in learning how to do this for other things, not just for this project. So I just, the project was just an excuse to try some stuff. And
that's honestly,
and yeah, if you go out to YouTube, you can watch the animated shows that we did a year or so ago, 2 years ago.
Well, yeah. That just became too hard or?
Yeah. So whenever you do, like when we're doing it live here, it's easy to do that. So I'm in the duo here with me and Miles. I'm the technical person and Miles is an idiot. And so I have to do all the technical. All
right, so Miles is Maddie and you're Mike.
No, I'm just teasing, but I'm just being ornery to him. But no, he's not as technically savvy as I am. And so if I could get him to have something on his end and we could just do this live, it would be a cinch. But the problem was then I had to take and record two separate audio tracks, his track and my track, and then I had to sync them up, and then I had to make the puppets mouth our words, and then
I mean, couldn't you just set out? You just set up a Zoom. I guess you could. Couldn't you just set up a Zoom and?
He can't do. He can't.
Oh, he's not even that. He can't even like.
Yeah, he can't do what I'm doing for you guys. There's no way I could talk him.
How old is he?
He's going on 13, 14 now. I think. No, he's in his. He's 50 something. So. But no, that's not his interest, though. His interest is just, you know, shooting the shit and telling stories and stuff. So
right,
he's good at that.
And me and Mike have language that we use, and you know, some people are talent.
Oh, there you go. See, he's doing that.
Some people are talent. He just they're here because they can tell. What the fuck is Mike doing? What the
he's got? He's got a Zoom character.
I'm a cowboy.
He's a cowboy, baby.
On a steel horse I ride, and I want it.
There you go. Oh, now he's a cow.
Now I'm a cow.
He's a cowboy. Cowboy.
You guys could do this in the Zoom thing, yeah.
I don't... Are we...
is that all through the Camo app, Mike?
No, this is what's available in Zoom. I don't have my second camera hooked up tonight.
So, yeah, but that doesn't... The cartoon thing is just a thing. And so I was doing we were talking about Podmatch stuff. And so this year, it wasn't this year, but back in probably October or something, I just came up with a stupid idea. I said, you know what I want to be this year, Miles? And he's like, what do you want to be, Bob? And I'm like, I want to be the Charles Nelson Reilly of podcast guests.
Just be everywhere and be annoying.
That's it. So that's been my.
That's awesome.
That's been my goal for this year, and so I found there's all these matching services, and I'm like, oh, I'll get on these and see what happens. And so, yeah, this is my new little project. I do. So he and I have done the show for 23 years, and then. Every once in a while, I'm like, I'm going to do another project. And so then I come up with something for myself to do just to humor myself. And so this time it's.
Well, not
this.
For nothing, man. This is because I was just talking, I was having this conversation with Pete, you know, and we're a little production, man. We don't, we don't have great. A lot of followers and stuff like that. So just talking to anybody is getting practice. You know,
exactly.
and not for nothing, but Bob, we're sitting here telling you about our show, and you're sitting there telling us about yours.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Yep. And if you got to get down and if you got to get down and dirty, you know, if you got to get down and dirty and go one on one with people to introduce yourself. Hey, listen, I can make these cool fucking cartoons. You know, and you know things and shit like that. Like I can do this goofy little shit. Mm-hmm. And you know, we can tell you.
And I can get people to believe that I'm a animated porn voice.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You see, if you hadn't said anything,
Pete was bought it. He bought it. He's like,
Pete bought it. I fucking bought it. That guy looks like he does. That guy sounds like he does porn voiceover.
He sounds like I remember there was this big bottom cartoon girl. He was hitting from behind, and they said something, and I just remember.
As a matter of fact, I think your voice. I've always thought this would be funny, where if we took, like, if you had to give a small child, the writing.
Finish that sentence quickly.
If you had to give a small child if you had to assign them to write the dialogue for a porno.
Oh,
what would that sound like?
Oh, wow.
It's like, I want to put my wiener in your hiney. But I think if we took a regular.
That's not children. That's everybody says things like that, don't they?
I mean, no, but if we took it,
not like, on the coast.
Okay.
I want to.
That happens down at the church picnic. I want to hump
your
that.
I want to hump your keister. Stick it in your tongue.
Are these kids from like the 60s?
Yes. Kids from the 1940s who would now be elderly people. So this isn't creepy at all.
There you go.
All right.
See, we fixed it.
Yeah, that's right. We can talk about children. If it's a different era, it's no problem.
It was funny back then.
It's a different time.
You know, the media virus is a long walk down a long, down a dark path with a bunch of strangers.
How's this conversation going to go when you try to kind of activate this idea? You're like, you know, whenever you hear mommy and daddy go in the room by themselves, say, don't bother us. What do you think that sounds like?
What do you think's going on in there?
And then basically, your porno will be like, what the hell are you doing? Why are you spending so much fucking money on all this shit? There's your porno. Dog.
Where's my dinner? Why can't you cook?
I hear.
Pizza
like
dinner went ready when I get home.
It sounds like electric toothbrush the whole time. That's all I hear.
Mommy's brushing her teeth in the bedroom.
Mom's got the whitest smile I've ever seen.
I walked in, mommy and daddy were fighting.
Dad, Pete, you can. It's okay to laugh. Yeah.
What the fuck are we talking? All right. So in 1999.
I don't know. Anyway.
In 1999.
I was saying Charles Nelson Reilly and everybody went into.
Yeah, we just went to what we were. Yeah. So you decided you wanted to, you know, that's what we were talking about is, you know, you wanted to become a podcast guest, but that's a great way to promote your podcast.
Yeah.
You would think that's probably pretty good. The big issue is I don't care if we talk about the show at all.
I think that works in your favor.
I just like to do the shows. And then, I mean, it's kind of fun whenever you get a kind of riff with people that you don't get a riff with on any kind of regular basis. So hopefully, I loved your little thing you sent me, the Google Doc. And I was like, oh, geez, what's this going to be? A lot of rules or something? And then basically it was kind of the anti-rules. And I thought, oh, this is fun.
Yeah, I really try to. It's honestly about keeping the sound quality up. And since the first night that Matt and I sat down and started recording ourselves on Zoom to see that this was going to work, I said, if we're going to do this, the sound quality has to be beyond reproach. It has to be to a point where even if it's bad, you're going to listen to say, wow, there's no noise. And
where's the hiss?
Yeah.
Where's the one microphone everybody's sitting around?
And, you know, honestly, I've followed podcasting since you guys started doing your show. It sounds like you say you've been at it since about 99, 2000.
Right. 99. Yeah.
And back in those days, it was Adam Curry with the Daily Source Code. That was kind of the benchmark.
Right.
And you know, I listened to that. I spent a lot of time listening to the show that he does with John C. Dvorak.
Yeah, Crackpot and the Buzzkill.
Yeah, I haven't listened for a while. I've kind of tuned out of that. But you know, that's always kind of been the bar for me. I agree with that. You know, if we're going to make this, we make it sound as good as we can, and beyond that, we'll see if we can get people to stop by and listen to it.
You guys got a lot of production value. I feel bad. Ours sucks compared. So, as far as production value goes,
but the one thing
I have little intros and shit. Come on.
The one thing I did dig about your show was that it's very reminiscent of those old days of podcasting, where it's stream of consciousness. It's a couple of guys who flipped on the set and started talking.
Totally stream of consciousness. Everything is totally improvised. We don't actually talk to each other beforehand about what we're going to say. And I think that's what makes it fun. That's what doing this guest stuff is fun, because it's kind of like, you know, walking the tightrope or whatever you want to call it. It's just like live television or anything like that, where anything goes and anything can happen. And you know, who knows what you're going to say.
Yeah.
And where it's going to take you. And the next thing you know, you're talking about children writing pornos.
Yeah. And, you know, that's part of the theory that we subscribe to. We have a group chat that we tap out some text messages to and throughout the week, but we generally don't talk to one another until showtime.
We all have an email address that there's a shared email address, and then there's my email that we send. If we see a story, we send it to this email, and then it collects in a Google Sheet.
So you got it automated to go over.
So it gets automated. And then on the day of the show, we go through everybody's suggestions of what we should talk about, figure out what we can make the funniest jokes about, what's going to flow into another. This is all what Mike does. I just know the process.
And they're like, Pete, no more porno cartoon stuff. Come on.
No. Yeah. And I thought about, he was just showing us the show sheet. I thought about,
hey, look, there's a Static Radio website up there. Holy shit. I see it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, we try to do research when we invite somebody to come on the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. Just so you know, in Podmatch, did you set up the calendar yet?
No. I always make people send me a note because I don't. What'll happen is I'll set up that stupid calendar, and then the one time I don't want anybody to bother me, they'll say, "Oh, hey, we matched on this day," and I'm like, "Oh, geez."
Yeah, our calendar is only for this time. That's it.
Yeah, you just have one time. If I do that, I'd probably be better. But
you can pick and choose when you want to do the things and turn.
Yeah, well, I know, but I try to because I want to be the Charles Nelson Reilly. I got to be flexible on my end. So
yeah, I hear you, man.
Yeah, so I'll do whatever I can fit in if it works out. So that's cool. Yeah. I didn't get to read all that, by the way, but that's
well. Okay. I mean, it's most of the shit we went through already. You know, it's honestly just what the stories are going to be. You know what. It's kind of crib notes on you.
I pluck out the nut. The
crib notes on me. Oh my gosh.
Well, just the shit. You know, the stuff that you had on.
I pluck out the links that we're going to use.
Did you actually look at my questions and ask? Maybe one of those things. Make a gob of money just talking was one of my statements. I think.
Was it about cryptocurrency?
Ask me about cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about cryptocurrency?
I do, actually. But okay. I do, but people just spew that kind of shit. I thought it would be funny to put it on there. But I do actually know somebody who is a Bitcoin millionaire.
Woo!
I've known him for a long time, but not too personally. But yeah, he's a nice guy. He does articles on Bitcoin, but I don't know a lot about it, but I know a little bit. So, but it was more of a joke kind of thing.
I figured that. That's what, you know.
Yeah, what's the best pizza somewhere? I think
there's no fucking way that being from St. Louis, Missouri, that you have any kind of clue as to what the best pizza is.
Yeah.
Oh, come on now. Come on.
Hey, he did say he's been to Delaware, so he has traveled to the coast. So
I get that, but
yeah, I've trucked all over this land from Maine to the Rio Grande. I spent the life of
I've been everywhere, man.
Anyway, no, I've been around. Yeah, no, pizza's one of my vices, I guess. Maybe.
I mentioned I had a sister that lived in St. Louis. And,
yeah, so she eats the emos, probably.
Well, she came up to visit us in New Jersey, visit my parents and such, and she hadn't been back to New Jersey in 20-some years at this point. And this was years and years ago, but she goes, I really want pizza. I want a good pizza. And there was a bunch of us, and they put me in charge of ordering pizza. So I ordered a fucking Sicilian pizza, right? Because there was a bunch of us.
Right. Mm-hmm.
She was so pissed off at me, dude.
You don't order tomato pie when somebody says I want pizza?
Oh my God. And she, but she went on for hours about how shitty the pizza was in Missouri.
Yeah. Well, it's acquired. The thin crust is the big thing in Missouri. Emo's is kind of the king of Missouri. You know, John Hamm goes on all these late night talk shows and talks about Emo's pizza and took it, I think, to Kimmel at one point or something like that. Brought Emo's on to Kimmel. But I like thin crust, so I don't like the thick stuff. I go to Chicago.
You like crackers and tomato sauce.
I do, yes.
I like a good thin. I like a good thin crust.
I enjoy a good thin crust.
If it's
like
good.
When it's got like a crack.
Good. You know. Mm-hmm. Basically, I like to think of it as matzah.
That's I'm with you.
But I don't like the thick so much, but I have been in Chicago many times and had thick pan pizza. But I like New York style and I like St. Louis style. That's my two favorites. So
now the artwork,
I don't know if there's a Delaware style. I don't know what that is.
Not really.
No. We just, it's whatever New York and Philadelphia put out, but mm-hmm. Those are the best pizzas on the planet. And Boston is good pizza too.
Really?
It's the megalopolis is where you find good pizza. You know, outside, I don't know how DC is or Baltimore, but that might be where might be the outskirts.
You got to find your concentration of Italians for pizza, and that's just the way it is.
Yeah, but then you're
historically there's a bunch of Italians in St. Louis, so there's a place that.
And then you need the water.
Yeah,
with all the chemicals in it. it's all the pharmaceuticals that went into Delaware.
This is from New Jersey, Dow Chemical Water.
Well, pizza. Yeah, pretty much.
The reason New York pizza is the way it is that water that they ship down the that
aquifer,
giant pipeline from the mountains.
I thought it was all the pigeon shit from the things on the roof.
No, most of the water from New York doesn't actually come from the Manhattan area. It comes down out of the mountains.
It comes from Catskills.
Yep.
Doesn't it? Yeah, I watched the documentary on that, The Big Dig or something. I don't know what
I saw Die Hard, what was it, 3 or 4?
Yeah, right. That's
that
where they went in there, and they blew out the hole, Oh, we got, he's getting ready to do the news over here.
No, I'm doing my Rush Limbaugh.
There you go.
What do you got, Matt? What's next?
Network.
Well, I mean, what made you decide in 1999 to just start? Did you just start recording yourself and releasing it? Like, what were the avenues of release at that time?
There weren't any. So, what we did is Miles and I went to college together, and we did college radio. And then after we graduated, we used to do a show that was not. It was kind of like what we do now, but. There was no outlet, so we went on and got jobs and were responsible people. And after a few years, I was working on some stuff, and I'm like, hey, we could put stuff on the internet, and I know how to do it. And he goes, oh, okay. That's his answer to everything. Oh, okay. And then I pinned him down, and I'm like, okay, so we're going to record something. And so we started recording the show. The idea was we're going to do like we did in college. We'd do a college type show, but put it on the internet. And that was the era of Napster and everybody getting sued. So we didn't have any music because we didn't want to get sued. And so basically it just became the telling stories and talking to each other. And that's how the show kind of took shape. And we did a few test shows back in 98. And then towards, Halloween, Thanksgiving time. And then by the first of the year, we had our format and we had what we were going to do. And we started putting it out there. There was a thing called Real Media, if anybody remembers that.
Yeah.
Real Audio. And I had access to a Real Audio server. And so we put our stuff out in Real Audio, which doesn't, I don't think it exists anymore.
I don't think so.
So we did this. And then I thought it would last maybe, a year or something. And it just kept going and going. We just do a weekly show. And typically it's only about half an hour. No editing or anything. We basically, start up and run like you guys are doing. And everything comes out. And then we tried to do about somewhere around 30 minutes. At the time when we started, it was more like 15 to 20 minutes because you could not upload, you know, nobody could listen to it if it was too big. So it was 56K, shorter.
56K, baby.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody had even broadband back then.
Yeah, no, 28.8, 56K.
So we that's how it all started, and we just kept doing it. And then next thing you know, Curry and Dave Weiner kind of worked on this podcast. I listened to Daily Source Code. Yeah. A cool little story about that is Adam Curry, you know, now they have the podcast Index. Back then they had the first 50 podcasts, and we were one of the first 50 on his list. And the weird thing is, and I don't know if Curry got paid for this. Nobody else did. That's the way it goes. Those 50 became the first ones on iTunes.
Nice.
So I had a person listening, and they go, "You know you're on iTunes?" I'm like, "I didn't know we were on iTunes." And next thing you know, we're on iTunes whenever it launched, because it launched basically with Curry's list.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an interesting thing. But yeah. And we just kept going and gone through all the different phases, you know, where it's been popular and not popular. We were a part of Mevio, which was Curry's company for a while. And then that collapsed or whatever, got sold. I don't remember what happened. but we really only done it as kind of a hobbyish thing, but we've done it regular enough now to where it's, you have to consider a little bit more than a hobby, just because, you know, after so long, even hobbies you give up. So
yeah,
but yeah. So
I mean, at the end of the day, it's your time to connect with your friend.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, we talk for longer than a half an hour. We talk ahead of time about family stuff and whatever, and then right.
it's your time to sit down with your friend.
Yep.
Yeah,
and enjoy the time, and that's kind of, you know, what we do here. Like we all enjoy each other's company. Mm-hmm. This is our time to come together, you know, kind of hang out.
And when we tell you we're at the 118th episode, we've tried really hard, and we've maintained it. This is literally the 118th week that we've sat down to do the show.
All right, fantastic.
Consecutively, each week.
Yeah. It's been each week. We've
regardless of what's going on in life.
Right.
Yeah, when I was, exactly. I told you, I mentioned before that I was hospitalized for 11 days. There were two Wednesdays that I did the show from the hospital.
From the hospital? Hey,
I reached out to his wife. I said, "You got to take him his gear. He's got to do the show."
I took gear to Jamaica with me. Went to Jamaica. I wound up
getting that was our drunk. Almost.
Yeah, I almost didn't make it. I showed up at like 9:10 after 9 or some shit like that. Hammered out of my head, but I was on the porch of the hotel room that we were staying in.
I was doing the cheap whiskey thing before we got ready to go here.
Yeah, well, I used to have a drinking problem. Well, all right, let me rephrase that. I have a drinking problem that is currently dormant.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Your liver thanks you for that one.
Yeah, I'm on what I call right now a sober binge. I'm just getting all binge the sobriety.
Okay. Because
you know, I've developed it. I also have an ulcer, which is why I gave up coffee. But
oh, my gosh.
Yeah, no, I've had my ass kicked. But yeah, no kidding. I forgot. I completely forgot where I was headed to.
You're in Jamaica.
Oh yeah, no. But Mike has done the show with COVID.
Mm-hmm. Twice.
Quarantined in his bedroom. He like busted his knee. He like fell on his ass the day of and was like all bruised his fucking tailbone. Still showed up.
Came limping up. Yep.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's just we show up.
That's 36 hours after. After gallbladder surgery, I was behind the mic,
doing the work too. You know, we just
had bile leaking out of his side. It was
We just recently had where he had COVID. It was a couple weeks ago. He had COVID, so we had Pete read the top three and do most of the reading, which was actually I think some of our best shows because that what that allowed was Mike was then one of the dudes that had to like we could just interrupt with a smart ass comment.
There you go.
Usually it's Mike reading and me interrupting him with some smart ass. That's the formula of the show.
And I'm trying to get us back on track.
And he tries to stay on track.
Okay.
So, you know, when he can do that, because he's so good at ignoring and deflecting and keep pushing, he's really good at fucking with people while they're reading.
Pete, where's your strengths at here?
I have no strengths.
That's,
I just show up.
That's not true.
That's Pete, not true.
Pete's so, a trooper.
No, it's yeah.
Pete. First of all, seat warmer. I'm warming Pete, the seat.
Oh
right
yeah, like I said, I came to the show. I started showing up on the show when I was in the hospital after I had major back surgery about it's going on 6 months ago now. Yeah, they were like, "Hey, Pete, you know, like, want to hang out with us on Wednesday nights?" Like, okay,
dude, his spine. He had scoliosis or had scoliosis, but his spine looked like a fucking spiral staircase.
Oh my gosh.
Right. So the doctors straight, like there were supposed to be 2 8-hour surgeries that wind up being like one, like 16 and a half hour surgery where they straightened him out. We didn't know that Pete was fucking 6 feet tall. So
he looks like a tall guy from what I can tell.
But, yeah. So, you know, it looked like a it was literally like a spiral staircase. Like he has a model of it on his coffee table, like a 3D model of his spine. What
DNA
his spine?
Spine there.
Yeah.
You got that somewhere, Mike? I think I sent that to you. Didn't I?
Let me see if I still.
He's
have
got
that.
The picture somewhere.
I don't know. You got it somewhere? Yeah. So, but, anyway.
Oh, got the X-ray or whatever?
No, actually, I'm working on that.
Oh, okay.
The other day, just yesterday, I went for virtually my 6 month follow up, and they took some new pictures to, you know, they want to make sure everything's staying where it's supposed to be. So I'm working on trying to get like images so that I can have that. It's a lot of fun.
But at the very least, you can just take your phone and take a picture of it while they got it up on the screen. But
well, yeah, that's what I like. I'll resort to like just in case, you know. My doctor's very. I had to hound my doctor for the 3D model that he had made.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I had to hound him. He's like, oh, I left it home today. And I'm like,
oh, look at that.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, and he's got a skull stuck in the back there, too. Goodness gracious.
Well, yeah.
He's got his head stuck on his desk.
Was that your conjoined twin there or what?
No, that was just lucky placement of the skull.
Oh, okay.
But all my friends took opportunity to get with
they,
that.
They took that and they straightened him the fuck out. That's not even a very, that picture doesn't look as banged up as some of the other pictures just because of the way it's.
I saw that in an 80s video game.
Yeah, but that is, I mean, and they took him and they made him the right way. And I was like, dude, you know, I want to hear about that. And then especially like while you're on pain pills, I want to talk to you. I want to see what's up. And yeah, he came on and then I let it slip that I never changed the password. Like the password's always the same on the Zoom. So he just shows up every week.
Oh, well, good. Good for you.
No, but Pete... He does that. Like if we need something looked up and we're talking, we throw it to Pete. Like Pete's the support, man. You need, you know.
He's the Chatsky guy looking to the background
and,
there.
And he also, he tells long, boring stories that go nowhere. Well, who doesn't want that?
You got to have that. Somebody got to take a bathroom.
You're forgetting one golden thing that Pete is capable of that we haven't really done on this show yet.
He'll read anything you put in front of him.
Oh, okay.
Anything. And we'll power through it and sound good. I love it. Doesn't snicker, laugh, smile, or anything. He will power through it, and it's beautiful.
If you write the line, "I sucked his cum and drank it like it was Gatorade," he will fucking read it.
Really?
And you'll believe it.
Flavor Gatorade was it?
Yeah.
I should have been an actor. I should have done theater or something when I was younger. Nah.
For the longest time, all you could have done was The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Right?
But now you've killed that part for yourself.
Yeah. Damn it.
Oh, look at that.
See, I had to go and get that fixed.
I had to go get surgery.
Right?
You know, you're like regular Madonna over there. Jeez, that is.
So, you guys do it. I mean, has there ever been like a week that you just didn't do it and got back to it? Or like, how does...
We've had maybe over... the 23 years that I can remember, we had about 3 weeks that we've missed because of one was 9/11. We didn't feel like recording.
I'll give you a pass for that one.
One was when Miles's sister died, and
all right.
And then one was when my house burnt down.
I don't think I'm going to give you that one. You could have figured it out.
I picked it up the next week at the hotel.
All right. So. Okay. Oh, I mean, okay. You get a half.
There's a lot to deal with when your house burns down. So.
That's one of my biggest fucking fears. What happened?
You got me. I came home and it was on fire and there you go.
Oh, but you weren't in it.
No.
Oh, thank Jesus.
But we'd only been gone for about an hour. So it was a weird situation. So.
You have pets or anything? Is there any?
Oh yeah, all our pets died. We'll get into that, and we'll be sobbing here.
I'm sorry.
The virus made me cry.
It's kind of one. It's one of the things I like to do, though. I like to make people cry.
Okay.
Sorry.
You never know.
He's pretty good at it.
Yeah. I know what I do. I hurt feelings. I the things that I think are funny aren't funny to anybody else.
It's not entirely true.
No, but like I was driving with my mother-in-law, and she was saying something, and I forget. And she was just, it was just those. She was talking about trans people and
was she trying to give you some messages or something?
And pronouns, and right. Just she met somebody who had pronouns.
Everybody's got pronouns.
That's no, but she had. They had specific pronouns.
Oh, so I got all picky about it.
Right. They want to tell you what pronouns you should use for them, and
you need to wear a shirt with it on there.
That's so that my point. Knows.
Definitely helps.
My point is also I do have the right not to talk to them too. Like I have. Oh, you have pronouns. Okay, and just walk away. It's all you don't have to.
Oh yeah.
Cool. Don't have to continue. I'm not getting into that.
Nobody's vegan here, are they? Because you can spend the whole day talking to people about that.
No, I was going to say, none of us have told you yet.
Right, you didn't know that.
You've been with us for 2 hours.
That's right. We're here on the Meat is Murder podcast. We're going to No. I don't have a whole lot of.
Speaking of static radio,
I knew Matt wasn't a vegan because that guy will put any shit in his body. So there you go.
Pretty much. Not anymore.
None of us are vegans. None of us do CrossFit.
Speaking of static radio, I don't eat meat.
Okay. That's interesting.
And that's how that goes.
When did you stop eating? Meat. That's a good question.
I stopped eating meat.
Where do you get your vegan cheese at?
I stopped eating meat about a couple hours ago, and I'm going to start again in the morning.
Oh, okay.
Right. Just to give you an idea, this is one of the funniest stories, and this is so me and staff writer Bill, who's a staff writer on the show, we're doing a YouTube video series called Pedro Eats, and Pedro. Mm-hmm. Was a pygmy fucking goat.
Oh, yeah.
And what we were doing is Bill would fucking stick this goat in the back of his car and drive to fast food restaurants and buy the goat fucking Happy Meals and shit.
Okay.
Hey, wait, right. I'm already invested. Where did you get the goat?
Bill's from like upstate Pennsylvania.
Oh, never, not
so. So he has family that just has.
So it was his lover.
Right. Probably was.
Hey, I'm going to take Pedro for a ride.
Right. Nobody asked him any questions. That's the fun part. Nobody asked him why. Right. So we had his whole car. We took all these old phones and had his car all rigged up with cameras of him driving the and now this is in upstate Pennsylvania. So it's long winding roads. This goat in the back of his car, no seatbelt. The coach is flopping around.
And how I gotta put a seatbelt on a goat.
Yeah. Right? I don't know how Netflix passed
Matt,
on this.
Matt, correct yourself. That goat was properly restrained. He is watching.
I don't give a shit.
He was restrained and he was.
No, because the video is on YouTube. We only made two of them. One we took him to McDonald's and one we took him to Burger King. The reason I bring this up is because.
Which was better?
Well, here's the thing. Okay, goats won't eat meat, right? So you're not supposed to feed goats meat.
They won't stop.
So Bill got the goat an Impossible Whopper.
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Goat ate everything, including Bill's seat, except for the fucking patty of the Impossible. The goat would not. I've seen a goat eat fucking siding. My mom had a goat named Tinkerbell, and that fucking thing. Tore the siding off the house, would eat tin cans, started chewing on the pool. Like, goats eat anything and that would not eat the Impossible Whopper. And that's how you know vegans are full of shit.
I like it if you start anything with, my mom had a goat.
I start every conversation with, my mom had a goat.
My mom had a goat. And
that's right. And watches World War II documentaries.
Scientific proof that vegans are crazy.
Pretty
maybe
much.
Maybe they just didn't like the, I can't even remember what the Impossible Whoppers look like. Plant-based, so it's like a bunch of shredded carrots.
Yeah.
I think it's mostly beans.
And there was beet in it to make it look bloody. Dude, yeah, there's a whole thing.
Now, I love a good veggie burger. I'll eat vegan food if it's good. Right? I got no, I'll eat your food. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, if it tastes good, I'm in.
Tastes good, I'm in. But like, if you really try, like, here's what I hate. Oh my God, they took all this shit and made it taste like macaroni and cheese. I'm like, I'd rather just eat fucking macaroni and cheese.
There you go.
Like, why the fuck do I want
to spend? That's always been my question. Why do they have to emulate meat? Why can't they just be?
If
what
it's
it is?
Such a problem for you to eat meat, why are you eating fake meat?
Why emulate it?
Yeah, why are you trying to?
It's trans meat, and I don't. Like I'm not. Yeah. You know, I don't buy it. But
I'm actually celery, but I identify as a hamburger.
No, but to finish that story, I'm driving the car, and I said something, and she's talking, and I'm not listening. And I was like, I don't know. And she said something and I completely agreed with what she said. Right. And so since I completely agreed with what she said, I was like, oh, you're just a bigot. And I thought that was hilarious.
You're a bigot.
I was like, oh, you're just a bigot.
But his mother-in-law is Portuguese.
Right. But the thing is, the thing is, I really hurt. I wasn't trying. I was just saying it was some of those things I said off the cuff and giggled to myself because I thought it was funny and I really, really hurt her feelings. Like she let me know the next day.
Like you have the same problem I do. People think you're serious when you come off.
Yeah, absolutely. And the next day, and even the explanation of me trying to explain what I was trying to say was condescending and insulting.
Right.
And I'm like, I just couldn't dig myself out of it. So I just said, oh, look, I'm sorry. And I just stopped texting. I don't know what anybody wants from me.
So what is your mother-in-law's, what does she identify as?
I believe she is a cisgender female. You know, she's had three kids. Mm. She's close to retirement age.
She, her?
Not that close. She's a very beautiful woman. Vibrant. She's never going to hear this, but...
She, her?
Yeah, she does. No, she, she's her, yeah.
She's never going to hear this, but in case my wife does, your mother is...
Hey, let me tell you something. My wife looks exactly like her mother. In the face, you know.
Oh. Okay.
So it's that's what I'm saying. She's a pretty
and wields lady. A blade like her father.
I want to get off this topic
before you get cut.
Move on. We got B block fodder. What's going on here? My glasses.
Oh, those were a couple of things that I thought you put in to be interesting, so I added them.
Bob, we don't have a guest. What's up?
This just no. You're gonna read it.
Oh, yeah.
Just in.
Yep.
Yes. This just in. Maddie found something off the wall on Reddit.
Oh, kids are fucking stupid. This is great.
I thought this kid was going to write a porno.
Billion, when you swing that rope, you need to make sure you don't come back and hit that pole, bud.
Hey, he's smart. He's like, okay, let's see where the rope swings. I see the swing path. All good.
That's the test. He's like, okay.
Bonk.
Oh, God.
Ding ding.
You swing that rope?
I didn't send the other one. My son was sending me these.
Oh my gosh, the poor child. You know that knocked about two grade levels out of his head.
Oh, easily. And this was another good one.
Oh, is that okay. I did send it. This I was laughing so hard I had tears in my eyes. Little kid first gets a PRC car.
And it
thing hawks, dude. That's
that's not like that's when you build. That's not when you just go get
right in the grill.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. That's not one that you just like go pick up down at the toy store. That's
no, yeah.
That's a hobby shop build there.
He took that shit to the face.
Hey, watch out, Billy. Watch out.
And then for some reason,
don't eat Burger King over there.
You sent me the reusable bidet towels. Well, why did you?
Toilet paper.
Well, yeah, that's.
Why did you send this to me?
There's so many things wrong.
He's got a hint for you there.
I really didn't need to know this existed.
Staff writer Bill.
Again.
And, staff writer Bill and the owner of the company were preparing for a walkthrough tour of the warehouse to, you know, for a prospective client.
Right. Okay?
So staff writer Bill goes around posting all of these. Well, first of all, he walks in with a basket full of books. Right. And he's like, we're going to put this in the boss's office on his bookshelves and it's going to make the boss look smarter. And they were like college textbooks about like multimedia and psychology. They were all just mixed subjects. And Bill was like, he's like, yeah, you know, when we give tours and they see the book on France, because there's a book on France on the shelf. He's like, he sees the book on France. People always, you know, ask about France. And I'm like, and you know, they kind of have, I'm like, so like, what are you going to do? He's like, you just fake it. if they ask you about the book. I thought it was thought provoking or some shit like that. Okay. So then he's going around posting signs and he puts all these signs. Now, I work as customer support. He puts all these signs behind my desk, right? Like all important phone numbers to like UPS, FedEx, and the different carriers we use.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to save your life one day.
Steps to the job, you know, steps to what support is another piece of it. All of this information would have been so fucking helpful on my first fucking day. It's fucking believable. Okay. So I'm getting angry at this. I'm getting angry at all this. He's just
now they've decided that they should tell you how to do your job since somebody's going to come and look.
Someone's going to come sit on the couch and wait because I work in the lobby. I work in the vestibule. So people that come in are going to sit in my lobby and look at me. So he wanted something behind me that looked like this was a professional establishment.
Right.
Okay. And then
professional like UPS number.
That's, right. So then he goes around, he's posting these signs and it's the company cares. And for each letter of cares, was a sentence of what we do for the environment.
Oh.
Okay.
And S was save water. And so I was explaining that I'm going to tell the customers that I do my part. I care because I only flush the toilet when it's full.
Probably not the best.
If it's yellow, let it mellow.
If it's yellow, never.
If it's brown, flush it down.
I save water by not flushing and not washing my hands. And
I just rub them on my beard.
That's what I, right. That's the dark streaks. But the.
It's hair coloring.
It's not hair color. That's the, you know. But. So then we went down this rabbit hole of if we were to get ultra and like environment, like do a segment on the show where we give tips on how to be ultra environmental.
Okay.
You know, and Bill was, I've explained before that Bill.
Yeah, it turns into.
He'll just point at the keyboard and keep yelling the word until you type it.
Right.
Right. And so
he was standing in the lobby at your office screaming, reusable toilet paper, reusable toilet paper.
Yeah, standing in my hobby loft is screaming at my keyboard, reusable toilet paper.
obviously, Bill's from the future and these things.
Absolutely.
Bill really is. Bill is a young man. Bill is a man of 26 and he's a fucking genius. So I can't really see the picture. It's not that important. But I found this and let's. Just for fun, I have no knowledge.
Well,
of what we're about to encounter.
Well, for $29.99, you can
$30.
You can own a 24 count roll of 2-ply reusable toilet paper. They're sewn from terry cloth, saves money, wastes less, and feel good, make a difference. Our reusable toilet paper replaces up to 140 rolls of toilet paper per person per year and lasts up to 5 years. Soft and absorbent. Each cloth toilet paper is incredibly soft and absorbent from the start.
Hey, after Pete, washing, let me ask you a question, Pete. Sure. Let's say you're in a house, you got a roommate, right?
Yep.
Are you going to remember what color you used the last time you wiped your ass? So that you can remember to use that color after wash day? You understand what I'm saying? Are you going to use these things after what? Like, even if it's been through the wash, if you suspect it's not the one that you wiped your ass with last.
Well,
are you going for it, Pete?
I think there's going to be a fight over who has to clean out the lint trap in the washer.
Absolutely.
It's not so much the reusable toilet paper itself. It's where do you put it when you're done?
There's only so much, like, the like, are you going to have
like a
handle?
Are you going to have like a hazmat container in your bathroom?
So we actually get into that. Easy to use, wash and roll. Hold for a few seconds to absorb. Store in a special laundry basket or wet bag. Machine wash, tumble dry, or air dry. Then re-roll them. Without snaps.
I dated wet bag back in high school.
Without soap. Don't use soap. Just wash the fecal matter with water.
Yeah.
Now, I would imagine, see, this is the type of thing, because you and everyone on this panel at the moment doesn't have the experience of having to use toilet paper or wipe after they've urinated.
But and what's with the dark green color?
But ladies do. Ladies wipe after urination. So this would be something I would imagine that would save toilet paper for ladies. Mm. I can't see a 400-pound man wiping his ass after he went to Taco Loco with one of those fucking things.
Oddly enough, you know I could see a 400-pound man using these, because it probably would be
in the shower
more effective than the toilet paper for that kind of situation. I mean, because you're going into crevices that haven't been seen. So,
if you want to get on a podcast, it's a good idea to not shit on the host point.
Oh, by the way, I don't think it's a good idea. I don't think a 400-pound man would be caught anyway.
There you go. All right. I was just wondering, like, what some of the reviews might look like on this.
Well, let's see. Are there any reviews?
Going down to the bottom there. It says, oh, feels so good. Oh, five stars. A lot of 5 stars.
I know this is crazy, but I actually really love it. I live out in the country and I have no trash service, so either I have to recycle or burn my trash. I love it because I don't have as much waste and it's reusable.
I just burn a bunch of these, apparently.
What do you mean? Who puts the toilet paper in the fucking trash? Is that what they were doing before?
Well, no, they don't have trash service. They probably don't have
there's a lot of service
here too.
There's a lot of people, like if somebody was raised in a third world country or a what's the word?
Shithole.
it's not second world, but it's third world country, and then second, like, you know, if like, you know, places that aren't quite first world don't have great plumbing, and a lot of those folks do wipe their ass and put it in the trash.
Yeah, because it won't go anywhere.
I don't think it's a matter of where it goes, I guess. I'm just saying, if you're buying $30 shit rags on Amazon, you're not living in a third world country, right?
Huh? No, they usually just tear up old.
Oh, see, look, great for urination use. That's what.
Yeah, there you go.
Get a bidet, then these.
These things overseas somewhere.
Oh, get a bidet.
So is this why you're not supposed to drink the water when you go to Mexico?
Probably.
Wrinkly, but they work.
So you can use these.
I hear that all the time. Wrinkly, but they work.
Here, absorbency is not very good. I think that's probably the worst point they make in their marketing, is that it's absorbent, which means it holds the shit.
Right.
Yeah, maybe not.
Oh, we're getting into some lower reviews, though.
They work.
They work.
Yeah, so does a corn cob.
Yep.
Or your
My dad used to tell me stories using corn cobs in the Sears catalog.
Yeah, Sears catalog, yeah.
What else we got?
I'm looking.
There's got to be some good ones.
Good to have this with a debate.
Dude, I forgot. Did I mention already? You know,
I saw you're logged in, so now you're going to get more recommendations for this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, so do we still we have the affiliate program, right?
Yes.
All right, so you're going to put
we're selling shit rags, buddy.
Yeah, buy it.
All right, we'll put a shit rag link up.
Isn't the part where you have it called Maddie's shit?
Yes.
All right, so we're selling shit rags, dude. To save the planet.
You're saving it, yeah.
Saving the planet. We're saving water.
Want
it's
to
like
move?
An RS with wash rags.
Fabric stuff. Let's keep going. Let's see what other suggestions they give you.
Want to move? I love the size and shape of these claws and the fact that they comes on a roll. I do wish the fabric was more absorbent.
Can you put them back on the roll after you use them? That's the question.
That's what you're supposed to do.
That's what they say, yeah. You can.
Will they have Velcro on one end or what?
No, they say they don't have snaps either.
That's probably good. I'm suing the company. I ripped the hole in my sack.
I got caught in the snaps.
I caught in the snap and I ripped my sack.
I was going to open the show with it's a pretty ubiquitous thing for men at some point in your life to get your dick caught in your zipper, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of happened to everybody.
It's murder.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
I had a whole story about it. Yeah.
Yeah. It happened to me one time.
Not somewhere you want to bleed from.
No. I right at the tip too. I recircumcised myself.
Oh my Lord.
Oh, it was the worst. And I tried to get my girlfriend to kiss it and make it better. She wouldn't.
Well,
that's all I kept saying.
It would have been a BBJ.
Yeah. That would have been actually infectious. That would have been terrible. You know what I mean? That would have been the worst idea. I also burnt my dick with chicken soup one time.
Was it?
Did you try to sue Campbell's afterwards?
No, I couldn't do shit because what happened was
homemade.
My parents had a side by side refrigerator, and my mom had this crock. She made a crock pot of chicken soup.
If you put your dick in chicken soup without asking first, it's rape.
Those chickens,
it's rape in 360 degree. So she had put the chicken soup in the crock pot on the top shelf in the refrigerator. I come out.
You got some reach.
You're not that tall.
Well, I'm 6 foot three. She's not that tall, but she somehow got it up there. Right. Well, I mean, it was up to my chest. So that's what happened. I was pulling something out and this thing started to tip. I didn't know it was freshly put in. I didn't know she had just put it in there. I thought it was in there for a while. So I leaned up against it to try to keep it from falling because my hands were full of the shit that I was getting. The whole thing tips. Greasy chicken soup down my whole front, down my dick.
Oh, my God.
I couldn't wear colored underwear for 6 months. I don't know why I wasn't allowed to, but...
Oh, you mean they told you not to do that?
They told me not to, yeah.
They didn't want your dick to grow back in a funny color.
It didn't even grow back.
They're like, don't use these butt wipes that are made of cloth and don't use any colored underwears. Yes.
That's right. So coming up, we're going to take a break, go into the C block.
Yeah.
And the C block, we've got survival tips for dating black women, Maddie's TikTok nonsense corner, and some other goofy shit. You can also check out everything The Media Virus at themediavirus.com. What's the best way to plug you, Bob?
I don't really like that question. Can we rephrase that one a little bit?
I want to really plug you hard. I want to give it to you.
Yeah,
we want to give it to you the way you like it.
Yeah, this is all going downhill.
Staticradio.com. If you want to check out if you want to check Bob out, you can check him out with his buddy Miles at staticradio.com. They do the Static Radio podcast. If you're wondering, I can let you know what it looks like. It's right here.
It doesn't look as interesting as this. Thickers. Oh, you used to ask me about thickers.
It's got a big red ball. It says static. That's how you know you're there. And
there's trees.
Looks like.
Oh, there's Manny the mailman.
Yeah.
Is that really your mailman?
No, he's in New Jersey.
Oh, look at that.
Huh.
Yeah, he's a New Jersey mailman.
And you got merch?
How about that?
Yeah, we've had that for a long time. I don't even know if you can buy it anymore, but. Hey, look at that. There's this thing I was on. Don't show that. You guys will be there after this gets done.
So. Dig it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah, thickers. You guys should get some thickers, apparently. So,
what are thickers?
Miles went to this, I call it a cornfield Comic-Con because it's out in the middle of nowhere. And he was at this booth and he was asking this guy, you know, about his wares. And the guy goes, oh, you should get some thickers. His thickers, and it's like these fat women, naked fat women stickers.
Oh, man. I love that.
We should get some thickers.
We should. I want some thickers. I saw a dude with a fat girl tattoo. I was like, that's fucking great. I enjoy the company of larger women. So.
Well, driving for Uber, as I do, every now and again you see something funny. I saw a truck that had mud flaps, you know, with the chrome chick on them. Except they were big girls.
Oh, there you go.
That's good.
Nothing wrong.
So hopefully all the big girls will stick around and check us out in C Block. Let's break this up, Mike.
All right. You can check us out at themediavirus.com. And you can also call us 1-646-VIRUS-01. I've had the phones open and nobody's paying attention. We'll be back right after this. Ladies and gentlemen, Raspberry Teabag.
I had no, but I was, you know, I kind of want.
I had no, but I was, you know, I kind of want.